Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship. Over the next few weeks, and I don't know how long it'll be, we're going to be asking big questions. So I hope you've all put your brains in this morning. There's no point looking in your handbags, Mark. He's dropped his brain on the floor. A Bible study a few years ago, we looked at things like what happens when we die and what does heaven look like and all those sort of questions that we often ponder but we don't often ask. So we'll see where today takes us. But as we call to worship our Lord, friends of God, believe this: God loved the world. God loves the world. We are the beloved. May the truth of this great love story shine through our worship today and renew our sense of calling. So come with your tiredness, your frustrations and your discouragements. Come with your doubts and your fears and your longings. Come to discover yet again how Jesus reveals God's love and mercy. Come in friendship to God and to each other, and in friendship to the world, to listen for God's word to us, to offer our prayers and renew our calling. Friends of God, let us worship. Amen. So we're going to start with number 76. We did sing it last Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to sing it like we mean it, okay? Number 76, Christ the Lord is risen today. He really is. that's it, and gather your breath. Let's pray. Praise the Lord, all people. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Great is his power, creator of the universe, whose breath gives life, whose hands create beauty, whose love brings freedom, whose glory fills the earth. To you alone our praises we bring. Saviour of the world, whose touch gives healing, whose words offer forgiveness, whose suffering brings life, whose death is victory, great is his power. Praise the Lord, all people. Let the sound of his praise be heard. Father God, we confess that we are impatient and selfish people. When you offer us the promise of a new future, we complain that we don't get there fast enough. When you provide for our needs, we complain that it isn't enough. And when our bad attitudes and negative outlooks cause us to stumble, we blame you. Holy God, forgive our sinful ways. Teach us to be patient. Instruct us to be grateful. Guide us to be responsible and humble. As we turn ourselves around and look to the cross, let us experience your grace and your gift of new life. Father God, in whose love we live and move, we pray for a world crying out to feel loved, wanted, cherished, and unique. Heavenly Father, source of all love, we pray for a world torn apart by conflict and war, a world that lives uneasily in a climate of fear, with no clear vision for future days. Heavenly Father, source of all hope, we pray for a world that thinks less of others than of self, a world whose division between nations, race, religion, neighbour and family leads to distrust. Heavenly Father, source of all peace, we pray for a world that is short on happiness, too busy to enjoy this world that you have created, too preoccupied with living to appreciate life. Heavenly Father, source of all joy, we pray for a world whose spiritual longing is satisfied by fashionable notions and temporary solutions, with no thought for tomorrow. Heavenly Father, source of our salvation, we pray for a world that needs to know your love, your hope, your peace, your joy, and salvation. A world that needs to know it's a special, unique, and is uniquely loved by a Heavenly Father. Come, Spirit of faith, strengthen our hearts. Spirit of the living God, fill our hearts, minds, and souls to overflowing. Come, Spirit of God, move in our hearts. Our God, we, your people, celebrate the mystery of your never-ending love. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
I think our passage this morning is probably one of the most important in the entire Gospel of John. There's a clue. Many crucial ideas are explained in this passage, including the role of Jesus as our Saviour. After a loud public commotion at the temple, John transitions to a quiet nighttime discussion, which contains probably the most easily recognised portion of any holy book on earth. And so I'll ask Dot if she'll come give us our reading, please.
Our reading this morning is on page 1065. John chapter 3, verses 1 to on onwards, 1 to 21. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the man, Son of Man, must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have life eternal. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been right in the sight of God. Amen.
Did you recognise the verse that I was talking about? John 3:16. I think that's the one sentence summary of the whole of the gospel. And it's still important. I think sometimes, I know when I was, and I'll talk about it later, you know, when I learnt that verse, I literally just learnt that verse. I didn't learn anything around what came before it, what came after it. And I often think now that the verses that come after it are just as important as John 3:16 itself. And it helps us, I think, critically to understand the Christian message. Christ wasn't sent to judge the world, but to bring salvation to the world. This is an expression of God's incredible love. However, as we hear, those who don't believe in Jesus are condemned in the eyes of God. Our human preferences for sin causes many to choose darkness over the light. But as we hear those verses again, it makes it clear that Christ and Christ alone is the means of salvation for the entire world. And so we will sing In Christ Alone, number 1072. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that through your word, through Jesus Christ, your Son, nothing can separate us from your love. Lord, help us to remember that always. As you bring your word to our hearts now, Lord, may we be open to receive what you have to say to us. But Lord, that we wouldn't just listen, that we would hear, and that we would do. Bless this time now, Lord, I pray in your holy name. Amen. As we heard the passage read to us, Nicodemus came to Jesus, initially showing him the respect, despite possibly knowing that Jesus didn't actually have any formal rabbinic teaching. But the discussion that followed is filled with questions from Nicodemus. So when I thought, when we're going to do big questions, I thought, well, that's a good place to start, isn't it? Nicodemus was absolutely full of them. I think it's important to ask questions, especially if we don't understand something. I think probably when I was growing up, I very much took what I was told, and that was it. I believed it. But as I've got older, you may have noticed, more mature, that I ask more questions. And so, as I say, over these next few weeks, we'll be answering life's questions. Does anyone know what the most Googled question is? For anyone who doesn't know what Google is, it's something on the computer that you look up something on the internet. The weather. Anyone else? Well, what do you Google? Be careful what you tell me. So you think the most Googled thing on the internet is the weather. News headlines? Yeah. So when I Googled, what is the most Googled thing on Google? It was what to watch on any media. What to watch, which I thought, well, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever Googled, what shall I watch tonight? Because I usually know. There was me thinking it would be, what is the meaning of life? Because that's what they reckon most people ask. What is the meaning of life? Now, if I was to do that one now, we could be here for the rest of the day and there'd be no dinner, or we could have it served in here. But I can do that one briefly, because for me, I believe that it's Jesus, and our purpose in life is to glorify God. But I know many would not agree with me. It's like the question, isn't it? What came first, the chicken or the egg? If I did a poll now, I don't know where it would go, and I'm not going to. But some of you would say the chicken, some of you would say the egg, some of you say I really don't care. But I would say that God's creation narrative would suggest that it was the chicken, because he said that the earth would be filled with birds. Which is the more important, Christmas or Easter? You're going, I'm going to answer that one. Yeah, for some of you it will be Easter. For some of you, you may think it's Christmas. I personally believe it's Easter. Another big question. Can anyone see that? For those on Zoom, it is a Cadbury's cream egg. The reason you can't see it is because they've got smaller. That's me making my marketing statement. But the big question, wasn't it, in the 1980s advert and has made a resurgence, is how do you eat yours? See, you even remember it. How do you eat yours? Does anybody want to confess how they eat their egg? You're a top off, are you? You lick it out, or you spoon it out? You're a finger? You lick it out. You're a lick it out. You are definitely my people. Yeah, you lick it out. Yeah. Yes. You can do a cream egg, how do you eat yours test. The only thing I would say is don't do it, because they want your details so they can send you loads of marketing stuff. But it says, do you eat yours all in one go? Well, I would suggest the size of them now. Yep, no problem. For the more ladylike, two mouthfuls. Yeah. So then they say, do you scoop the goo out? I've never referred to it as goo, but yeah. Do you scoop the goo out with your tongue or finger? So we've obviously, I think most of us are tongue. Some fingers and a few polite ones, teaspoon. Do you have it melted on toast? Now, I have not tried that yet. Guess where this one's going later. And I've even suggested that perhaps you have it squished between a roll. Don't knock it till you've tried it. God, you lot. But after the flurry of... that's got you warmed up nicely, hasn't it? After the flurry of Easter activities of bunnies and chicks and egg hunts, what's left? A pile of discarded egg wrappings for most of you. I always say my Christmas chocolate lasts till Easter, my Easter chocolate lasts till my birthday, and then my birthday chocolate lasts and it's Christmas again. Yay! We all vowed that we're never going to eat a hot cross bun again. Until next year. But it's also a chance to reflect, if we want to, a bit more. As I said, over the Easter services, Jesus' death and resurrection changed the world. And they can be life-changing for all who believe in him, as we've just heard. That's what our Bible passage tells us. What Easter is all about is love. God loves. That is the very heartbeat and the core of the good news that we read. God so loved the world. The world was loved in an amazing way. Someone said, the point is not to suggest that the world is so big that it takes a great deal of love to embrace it all, but that the world is so bad that it takes a great kind of love to love it at all. It's quite a good thing to think about. I'll say it more slowly later if you want. An awesome God greatly loved a bad world, a dark world. How do we know? What is the evidence? Because he gave his only son. A lot is contained in those simple words. So I've been pondering, what is more important? The death of Christ or his resurrection? You're all going, I'm not answering that one. Fill your boots, Sharon. I believe that the death and resurrection of Christ are equally important. Jesus' death and resurrection accomplish separate but necessarily related things. Both of them, as I say, they can't be separated. They're equally important. Without Jesus' death, we have no hope of God's forgiveness. And without Jesus' resurrection, we have no hope of eternal life. I believe that's why John 3:16 is probably one of the most easily recognized and most memorized verses in the entire Bible. I earned many a sticker from Sunday school and many a badge from Girls Brigade from memorizing scripture. This being the one that I really do remember the most. However, it's more than just a remembering. It must be a truth, a promise by which I and we live our lives in Christ to the full. The cross of Christ won for us the victory that we could never have won for ourselves. Paul says in his letter to the church at Colossae, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. On the cross, God heaped our sins on Jesus. That's what held him there. And in love, he bore the punishment for each one of us. In his death, Jesus took upon himself the curse that was introduced by Adam at the fall, that we read about in Genesis chapter 3. With the death of Christ, our sins became powerless to rule over us. By his death, Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, the current ruler of this world, condemned Satan and crushed the head of the serpent, as we read again in Genesis 3. Without the sacrificial death of Christ, we would still be in our sins, unforgiven and unsaved. So the cross of Christ is vital to our salvation and was therefore, that's why it was the main theme of the apostles' teaching and preaching. That is why we call Good Friday good. But the story of Jesus didn't end, as we know, with his death. That's why we have cause to celebrate on Easter Sunday, unlike so many other faiths. And I will continue to reiterate the point that the resurrection of Christ is also foundational to the gospel message and to our faith. Our salvation stands or falls based on the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, as Paul makes it clear in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ is not physically risen from the dead, then we ourselves have no hope of resurrection. The apostles' preaching was in vain, and believers are all to be pitied. Without the resurrection, we are still sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death. But because of Jesus' resurrection, his promise holds true for us. As he said to his disciples in John 14, because I live, you also will live. Our great enemy, death, will be defeated. Jesus' resurrection is important because it's through that event that God declares us righteous. And as I always say, that's one of those Christianese words that we only use in church. Righteous, to be right with God. Jesus was raised to life for our justification. Another one of those words, justification. Just as if I had not sinned. The gift of the Holy Spirit was sent for the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus. We read at least three times in his earthly ministry that Jesus predicted that he would die and rise again after 3 days. If Jesus had not been raised from the dead, he would have failed in his prophecies. He would have been yet another prophet to be ignored. As it is, as I always say, we serve and we have a living Lord, faithful to his word. The angel at Jesus' empty tomb was able to point to a fulfilled prophecy. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Just as the Bible connects the death and the resurrection of Christ, we too must maintain that link. As has been recognized, Jesus' entrance into the tomb is equally as important as his exit. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul defines this gospel as the dual truth that Jesus died for our sins, which was proved by his burial, and that he rose again the third day, proved by his appearances to many witnesses. This gospel truth is of first importance. It's impossible to separate the death of Christ from his resurrection. To believe in one without the other is to believe in a false gospel that cannot save. For Jesus to have truly arisen from the dead, he must truly have died. And for his death to have come true meaning for us, we must have a true resurrection. We cannot have one without the other. If we believe our Lord did all that for each one of us personally, can we but not help but love him? If we have believed him to be fictitious up until now, for anybody who's been watching the pilgrimage program, Spencer Matthews didn't realize that Jesus was a real person. And he won't be the only one in our world. The good news still has a long way to reach all the nations. We seem to think that it needs to go abroad somewhere, but there are people walking amongst us who still believe that Jesus is fictitious. Jesus wasn't a real person. Jesus didn't die. Jesus didn't rise from the dead. And so we need to give the good news to a world in rebellion against God. Why do we need a saviour? Why do we need Jesus? Another preach for another day, I think, in detail. But in summary, God has a plan. It is perfect, and he won't change his mind about accomplishing it. Great thing is, he invites us to join in, even though we're sinners. We need a saviour because we cannot save ourselves. We need a saviour because without Christ, Paul describes us as having no hope and without God in the world. We need a saviour. And as we read, God provided one. Jesus saved us as a demonstration of God's love and as a basis for his mercy. We read in Titus, having been justified by his grace, we become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. I want us never to forget the verse that follows, verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus did not simply save us from something. He saved us for something. He saved us for a relationship with God who loves us. By saving us from our sins, Jesus made reconciliation with God possible, allowing us to approach God as our Heavenly Father by his grace and not by our works, as Paul writes. We are saved for an eternity with God, worshipping him, enjoying him, and being loved by him forever. Jesus' death and resurrection makes all these things possible, demonstrating that he is the saviour of the world. Is he your saviour? God makes it clear that we can only be saved by trusting and believing in his Son. And that is as easy as A, B, C. Admit you have sinned. Believe in Jesus. Confess him as your Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, make still our souls this moment to collect the full scope of your love for us. Continue to teach us, Father, and let us remember and retain the truths you have revealed to us here today. Help us to see people the way you see people. May we live free and love others in your name. Let all we do bring glory and honour to you. Thank you for your mercy, compassion, and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. You give us new life. May we never forget the In this name we pray. Amen. So good news is this. In Jesus Christ we are accepted. We are loved and we are forgiven. And we are invited to gather around our Lord's table. But first of all, let's sing 1,000. King of Kings, Majesty. God so loved the world, and God so loves the world. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. God's word tells us that we should love our neighbour as ourselves. Love never ends. We shall love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. God so loved the world, and God so loves the world. Let us worship the God of love and life as we gather around his table as an invitation from God himself. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a deep and reflectful way of remembering and proclaiming what Christ has done. God is gracious to those who believe in him and declare Jesus as their Lord. We take in our hands the bread and the cup. In doing so, we are prompted to remember Christ's death in our place, grace in action. We remember too his life and glorious resurrection, the promise of death defeated, eternal life with him. Let's pray. We gather as the children of God to worship the one who provides what we need and not what we want. We gather around the table of God to taste the goodness of God, to drink deeply from God's mercy. Holy One, Holy Three, the winds of your Spirit beckon us to follow, but we cannot hear the wind over the noise that we have created. Again and again you call us to believe. Again and again we look the other way. You offer us freedom, but we choose independence, pretending that we have ultimate control. You offer us life, but we find ourselves perishing, buried under the weight of our own self-interest. Forgive us, God of life. Heal us and bring us peace. God so loved the world that God would come among us, become one of us, live with us and suffer for us, that we might have life and have it abundantly. Hear the good news. God loves us. God forgives us. And God calls us to try again. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as Paul writes to the church at Corinth, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine themselves then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon themselves. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged.
But when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for those words. We thank you that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we come to your table, Lord, yes, as sinners, but through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we leave forgiven. Lead us, creation's designer, into all those places where we will discover your hope, waiting to nourish and restore. Lead us, shepherd of little children, into all those places where we may have the joy of feeling the emptiness of others with your goodness. Lead us, Spirit of goodness, into all those places where deeds of kindness and hands overflowing with mercy speak louder than any cliches. God in community, holy in one, lead us into your kingdom. You have prepared this table for us, anointing the bread and the cup, as well as all your people with your Holy Spirit. May this bread which is broken be our healing and strength. So we walk the shadows of our world, leading our sisters and brothers down the paths of healing and hope. As we are anointed with the cup's grace, may we bring comfort to the lonely, build homes for those who have none, fill the hungry with nourishing food, shower them with goodness and mercy. In this holy moment, in this bread and cup, may we be reminded that Christ is with us. Amen. So the invitation is to come to God's table, those who have much faith and those who would like to have more. For you have been to this sacrament often, and for those who have not been for a long time, for those who have tried to follow Jesus, and for those of us who often fail, come. It is in Christ who invites us to meet him here. As you're given the bread, please take and eat. Take and eat and remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of our sins.
When you receive the cup, please retain it, and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ's family. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Take, drink, remember, and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins." Let's pray. With burning hearts, we thank you, Father, for making Christ known to us in the breaking of bread and in the poured out wine. Now may this meal enable us to increase in faith, preserve in hope, and grow up in love. May this witness to Christ's death draw others into fellowship with him, so that all your children will be gathered in to share with us the joy of your salvation. Lord, send us from this place by your Spirit, our ears open to your word, our minds alert to the calling you gave us, our hearts full of enthusiasm for your coming kingdom, our voices confessing the name of Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Amen. Thank you. So as we continue to think about life in Christ, eternal comes from a Greek word that means never ending. So let's join together and have never ending praise as we sing number 109, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." Let's pray. How much does God love us? Enough to send the divine heart, hope and spirit to us, not to condemn us, but to save us. Not by our speaking or doing, but by God's good and precious grace are we saved. Thanks be to God. Let us rejoice. God so loves the world. May God, your Maker, send you back into the world with creative energies refreshed. May Christ light the light, illuminate your darkest moments, and may the Holy Spirit of steadfast love guide you until we worship together again, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Recording stopped.
Thank you.